Amen. Well, let's take God's word this morning and look to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number six. And I'd like to preach on the subject of prayer this morning as it relates to our growing relationship with the Lord. How vital prayer is in this matter of our growing relationship with Christ. And we certainly want 2017 to be a year in which we find ourselves growing and developing our walk with the Lord and following Him. And even as we saw last Sunday morning, to listen to His voice. How many have ever heard of a selective hearing before? Okay. You've heard that expression before. We find that it's usually parents speaking to their teenage kids about that. You know, you have selective hearing. You'll hear what you want to hear. I think sometimes spouses speak of that toward one another, perhaps sometimes. Is that, that's the bigger amen on that one, I guess. But the reality is that probably we've all done it, and we probably have done it in our walk with the Lord as well. We hear what we want to hear. And if we're going to grow and develop in our relationship with the Lord, as we saw last Sunday, we need to listen to Him. And we are not to be selective in our listening or in our hearing, but rather we are to come to Him, come to His Word, hear His voice through the Word of God, and allow Him to speak to us. We mentioned how that if a relationship is going to grow and develop, the communication is key to developing a relationship. And communication takes time. Communication takes speaking as well as listening. Speaking and listening are imperative. So as we think about our walk with Christ, we allow Him to speak to us. We allow Him to speak to us through His Word, and we want to listen to what He has to say. And then I want to speak to Him. What a privilege it is to come before the Lord and speak to Him, and to have communion with Him, to have fellowship with Him, and to really be able to say, even as Aaron reminded us this morning after the offertory by Levi, that this is our Father's world, and we have a father-child relationship with the Heavenly Father through Christ our Lord. And so Jesus speaks about that on the subject of prayer here in Matthew chapter 6. So I'd like to read verses 5 through 14. Please, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 14. I'd encourage you to follow along as I read, and then I will lead us in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Verse number 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen." Let me just stop right there. Shall we pray together? Lord, I do thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that you'd give power to it as we consider this tremendous passage that Jesus speaks of concerning this matter of prayer and building our relationship with our Father in heaven. Lord, would you please open our understandings, open our ears, help us to hear from God, help us to put aside the tendency that I think we have sometimes to be selective in our hearing. Father, you would have us to receive all the counsel of the Word of God. in this growing relationship you've called us to. So, Father, would you bless our time in the Word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, he says there, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. So we come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through that knowledge of him and his substitutionary death for us on the cross, we have knowledge of the Father, and we also have knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God as well. And to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus is to experience with our Lord that growing relationship that Jesus says leads us to that abundant life. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And this is something the Lord wants to give unto all of us. He wants your relationship and my relationship to be something that is not only settled and steadfast, but also something that is growing and expanding in our life. It's a place where we can have greater confidence in what the Lord has done for us, also what he is doing for us, and what he wants to do in and through us. And this particular passage of the Lord Jesus, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord is speaking through to a vast host of people that are settled on the hillside listening to him preach. His popularity at this point in time is beginning to grow because no one ever spoke like Jesus has spoken. And no one has ever spoken about the subject of prayer. You don't find what he has here for us about this matter of praying to our Father and developing our relationship to the Father. You don't find this kind of instruction in the Old Testament. It's certainly there. We certainly see the prophets and the mighty men and women of God in the Old Testament engaging in their relationship with the Lord and speaking to him. But this matter of coming to God and praying to the Father and interceding on behalf of others and being with the Lord and taking time to do so is something that is opened unto us in the New Testament. And so let's work through these several verses together this morning and see how God would instruct us as people on how to grow this relationship with the Lord through prayer. First of all, in verses 5 and 6, he speaks about the subject of prayer as it is personal. Prayer is both personal and it is private. But let's focus primarily on the subject here of the personal relationship. All relationships are personal in nature, are they not? They do not exist through osmosis. You know, you can't put your head on the pillow at night and say, you know, I'd love to have a relationship with someone that would be a good friend. I'd like to have a relationship with the Lord, and I'm just going to put my head here. Now, you can pray there. And perhaps some of us have done that. But it's not going to come just by thinking that it will come magically. No, it has to be personal. You have to put forth the time and the effort in developing that relationship. You know, we find that some people think that our relationship with God is based on rituals or based upon rites. I mentioned Catholicism a moment ago, back in the medieval centuries, 1500s, 1400s and thereabouts. A large part of their doctrine at that time had to do with developing a relationship with God and Christ through what they called relics. And they would have relics, and they were just gathered to themselves, they thought, all kinds of relics. They thought they had the head of John the Baptist. They had bones of all the apostles. They had thorns from the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. They had splinters of the cross. And they would tell their congregants, their people, that if you would pay homage to these relics, that you would say prayers before them, that you would kiss them, that you would go up the stairs on your knees and to stop at every stair and say certain words toward these relics, that you would receive a special relationship with the Lord through the relics. Praise the Lord that the New Testament is so very clear that the Bible says that our relationship with Jesus Christ is enough. It is enough, and it is through him and him alone that we come to know God as our Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus says, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And so praise the Lord for that great New Testament truth. It's personal, this relationship. In verses 5 and 6, when Jesus teaches about the subject of prayer, you notice he speaks about when thou prayest, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this, thou shalt go into thy closet. It's personal instruction to those people who are gathered together there. It's personally and it's also private. He speaks about coming into the closet. We often refer to it as our prayer closet, a time to be alone with God. And when you get into that prayer closet, you are personally and privately speaking to God. And it's there that relationship has the opportunity to grow and to develop, because you are communicating to Him when you are in that prayer closet. An author of yesteryear said this: the Spirit must be given an opportunity to reveal Christ to us every day. This is absolutely essential. Christ is such that we need only see Him, and prayer will rise from our hearts. We see Him, you see, as we come before the Lord in the prayer closet. And God reveals Christ to us in the closet of prayer as you're with God alone. That's the revealing of the relationship. It takes time, it takes communication, you listen, and you speak to Him. Norman Grubb said this, and he suggests this as a morning prayer. He says, good morning God, I love you. What are you up to today? I want to be a part of it. That's good. Lord, I love you. What are you up to today? And I want to be a part of it. That's building a relationship. I want to be a part of the Lord's life. I want Him in my life. The Father wants this for me, and I want it for myself. Well, you should want it for yourself. And as we want it for ourselves, we must spend the time that is necessary to come before the Lord and pray personally to Him. But he also speaks in this passage about praying to the Father and praying in a way that is always honest. You say, well, of course I'm going to pray honestly. We have to be careful, because he speaks here that the possibility is of people coming to the Lord and praying with a spirit of hypocrisy. He says there are those who pray and they think they are praying to the Father, and they're using, verse 7 says, vain repetitions. And this is the practice of the heathen, Jesus says. I think the greatest illustration of it in the Bible, in my opinion, is found in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter, the 19th chapter, where we find that in the city of Ephesus, where Paul the Apostle is making an uproar. Because he's preaching Christ and Him crucified, and he is saying that there's no other gods. That'll get you in trouble in some parts of the world. In fact, it'll get you in trouble in America too, because there's much idolatry in these United States of America. But anyway, in Acts chapter 19, we find that the people of Ephesus, they were worshipers of the goddess Diana. And the 19th chapter, verse 34 and 35, we find that the congregants of those who worship Diana are gathered together, and they are simply saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great. And they do that for 2 hours. 2 hours. That, folks, is a vain, empty, not worthwhile repetition. You've heard the expression where someone says, if you say something often enough and long enough and loud enough, that they'll come to believe that. I think that's what's taking place there in the city of Ephesus. They're speaking loud and long and loud, often enough, about the greatness of the Diana of the Ephesians, the goddess of Diana, and they're trying to convince themselves, you know, that she is a great god. And of course, she is no god at all. And Jesus said, be sure when you come to the Father in your personal closet time, when you're pursuing the Lord in your relationship to Him, you don't have to do that. You don't have to come and repeat vain repetitions as the heathen do, thinking that God will hear you through those vain repetitions. No, God is more than ready to hear you. and you come to Him in Jesus' name. Father, thank You that I'm privileged to bow before You, not through any works that I have done, not through any merits that I have earned, Lord, simply because of Your mercy and grace extended to me through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm able to come and come before the Lord honestly. You see, the Lord already knows where we are, right? It's not like we can, you know, pull one over on God. We might as well just be honest. This last Wednesday night, we were studying Psalm 22, and one author has described the 22nd Psalm as the psalm that describes the cross. It's the psalm of the cross because there are many statements in the 22nd Psalm that refer to Jesus Christ. Christ used those psalms when He was on the cross. And one of the expressions found in the psalms is where David says, my God, why hast Thou what? Forsaken me. And you find that in the gospel record when Jesus was hanging on the cross. It's one of His seven statements as He was being crucified. And I mentioned on Wednesday night, and I'll mention it again here, we find that David is very, very honest as he is coming before the Lord. The first five verses, he is speaking about crying unto God. And he says, Lord, I feel like I'm forsaken. I feel like I'm crying day and night unto You, but You're not hearing what I have to say. It seems like You're not coming to me. You're not answering my petitions. Lord, it seems like a time of darkness. And then he goes on to say, but yet I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to trust You in the daytime, and I'm going to trust You in the nighttime. But what David is doing is just one of many examples as you read through the Psalms where David is revealing his heart and his emotional turmoil, and he's simply being honest. God, I really feel like You have forsaken me. Has God forsaken him? No, God, he knew that, and he would write later on about God's presence in his life, most certainly. But at the present hour, the present circumstances, the present situation that he was experiencing, he felt as though that God wasn't anywhere near him. I think it's okay to tell God that. Because we have a great example in a man after God's own heart, David, who came to God and said, Lord, this is how I'm experiencing life right now. In the end, we find him trusting God. And that's what you have to do when you feel like God is silent and God is not answering your prayers and that in your petitions. I'm simply using that as an illustration and to say to be so honest before God. And just ask God to reveal your own heart to yourself. Lord, I want to come to You not with any facade, not with any hypocrisy, but I want to come honestly before God. And Jesus says in verse 8, be sure you don't practice this heathen way of approaching the Father, because the Father already knows what things you have need of before you ask. So come to Him with that confidence. You don't have to come beating your breast for 2 hours, thinking through that activity that God is going to hear you. But I think you can come before the Lord, and we should come before the Lord and say like David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart, O Father, because I want to have a right relationship with You, and I don't want anything in my life to hinder that relationship with You. Open communication always builds relationships. Open, honest communication. I think another great example, could you turn with me, please, to, let's see, where did I want to go? 2 Chronicles, just for one quick illustration. 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. And we find a story in the Old Testament of a king. His name was Ahab. And Ahab had a relationship with the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. So Ahab is the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And they're coming together to see if they can form a league to go to battle against their enemies together. And so Jehoshaphat and Ahab are having a time of communication, just talking to one another about the potential battle that is before them. And we find that King Ahab wanted to make inquiry of the Lord, but he wanted to go through a false prophet. He didn't want to hear from God, really. So he wasn't really being honest. He was being kind of two-faced about the situation. And so we find in verse number 6 that Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" In other words, Jehoshaphat looks at the false prophet and says, "We're not going to hear from God from this fellow." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." You know, here's the prophet of God who's got a true message from the Lord, but he always gives the right message, but the king of Israel did not want the right message. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. We could call that selective hearing, couldn't we? You know, I just want to bring people into my life that are going to tell me what I want to hear. If you skip down to verse number 10, we find that Zedekiah, who was a priest of the Lord, had made him horns of iron and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed." And so this is the message from the false minister false prophet. And he says, "You're going to destroy Syria." He says, "No." And Jehoshaphat says, "What about Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord?" So Micaiah comes, and he says in verse number 13, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." And when he was come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Shall we not go up?" And Micaiah said, "Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. If you go to fight against Syria, you are going to suffer defeat." And the king turns around and looks, probably points his hand at Jehoshaphat and says, "How many times, you know, shall I adjure this man, this prophet, that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" And then he said, I did see Israel scattered. So here is King Ahab, wants to come to give a message concerning his battle against the Syrians, but he wasn't making an honest inquiry. Let me hear what the false prophet says, because I know that he's going to agree with him. You know, he's probably on the king's payroll, the false prophet is. Whereas Micaiah always gives me some bad news that he says is from the Lord. And obviously Ahab has not been listening to God, didn't care to hear what God had to say. He would not have, if he really wanted to care what God had to say, he would not have listened to the false prophet at all. He would want to come to the true prophet of God, Micaiah, to hear him speak to the Lord. I'm simply saying that because Ahab had no relationship with God. His relationship, he thought, was secured because of a false prophet and not a true messenger that delivered the word of God. And so when we are seeking to build our relationship with the Lord over the course of this year and throughout the rest of our lives, we're listening to him, we hear his voice through the word of God, we speak to him according to his revealed word in the Bible, we speak to him honestly upon our hearts, what are we needing, what are we going through. Our communication with God is an honest expression of our heart. Folks, he's a loving heavenly Father. He loves us. He says, "Come and break open your heart unto me." Be honest as you come privately into the prayer closet. And you can be sure, folks, that this is going to be a means whereby that you grow more intimately in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. Lastly, this morning, we find in verses 9 through 14 where Jesus gives us what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it is an example, or we could say it's a model or a template on how to approach the Lord in the prayer closet. And so in verses 9 through 14, he begins to give this, "Our Father which art in heaven," and so forth. For our purposes this morning, we're not going to go through each phrase of this particular sample prayer that he gives to us here. But we are going to see here in these several verses that prayer, and here's where the development of the relationship is emphasized in this model prayer, that prayer is for both parties. It's for the Father and it's for you, the child, before the Lord. He is telling us, Jesus is telling us here how to pray. And how to pray. But as we read through this, we find that he speaks about our Father, the kingdom of God, and then he also speaks about the fact that we want God to do something for us. Give us this day, for example, our daily bread. Help us, Lord, to forgive us. Help us to forgive our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. You see, prayer here is an imperative. And he is expecting, Jesus is expecting his vast congregation at that time. He is expecting them to have a relationship with the Father through him. And he's expecting them to come before the Lord in prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, he's expecting us to come. He's expecting us to pray. Use this model, he says, to pray to our Heavenly Father. And this portion, I mean, this is not a liturgy. This is not given to us so that we can just recite it. And that's how I learned it. I mean, growing up in a Christian Science church, I learned this by heart, how, because it was part of their program. We would just repeat it week after week after week after week. And you repeat something long enough, you know, got to get it into your head, right? But it meant nothing. It meant nothing. It is not given to us for that purpose, but rather it's given to us to implement as a model by which we can approach our Father, which is in heaven, so that we can develop this relationship with our Lord. So when we're offering prayer, what's built into this prayer model here is this relationship with the Lord. We approach God as our Father. We want to hallow His name. We want to pray for His kingdom to come. We want to pray for His will to be done. But we want our Father in heaven, like I said a moment ago, give us our bread and to help us to forgive our debtors and to not lead us into temptation to commit evil and sin against God. So the first person pronouns are used of the Father and use of those who are in the prayer closet. That indicates then, folks, that there is a relationship that is being established here as we are praying to the Father. And the Father responds to us as we use this model to pray by, and he is developing our relationship with him. I'm simply trying to emphasize here that this matter of prayer is a relationship process. It is a means by which that relationship is going to build. Because when you are praying and when I am praying and we are before the Father, we are communicating. We are communicating. And because we are communicating, there's going to be a building of the relationship. And when there's a building of the relationship, friend, there is no stagnation. The relationship is growing. It's prospering. You and I can't help but to grow in our relationship with the Lord if we will spend time in the place of prayer. You will grow. Guaranteed. Because God is going to meet with you there. And God's going to speak to you there. And you're going to speak to him there. And as a result, you're going to listen to what he has to say. And that father-child relationship is going to grow. Going to grow. I read a story about a lady who said she was listening in her Sunday school class. She was listening to every preschooler recite their memory verse for the week. The memory verse for that week was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. So one little girl was trying very hard to recite her Bible verse for the week. And so she's trying to get it out. She's trying to recite it for her teacher. And she started by saying, call unto me. And she got hung up a little bit. And she's squirming around, and she's, you know, looking up at the ceiling, trying to remember what the verse was. Well, and finally she said, "Oh yes, call unto me, and I will call you right back." That was her response. "Call unto me, and I will call you right back." Folks, communication is a two-way street. It is a two-way street. God speaks and listens, and we speak and listen to God. We call upon Him, He says, "and I'll show you great and mighty things." This is the means whereby we can have a thriving relationship. Folks, our relationship with the living God does not have to be a distant. It doesn't have to be, "Well, I'll come to God when I have those emergency moments." It's better to be prepared for those emergency moments by having a relationship with God, isn't it? Perhaps you know what I'm speaking about. But we want to spend time in the prayer closet as the people of God so that we develop that relationship with the Lord. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said this. He said, "Do not have your concert first, then tune your instruments afterwards. Begin the day with the Lord of God. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer, and get first in harmony with Him." End of quote. Harmony with Him. That's our relationship with God. That's our relationship with God. This is what we want. Lord, we want Your will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And the first place on earth that the will of God needs to be done is in my space on earth and your space on earth. The will of God being done on earth, right where we are. And that comes when I'm with my Lord and I'm seeking Him and I'm developing this relationship with Him. This is where God wants to take us. And so Jesus says, come. Come and pray. Come into the prayer closet. Come to the Father and pray privately, pray personally, pray honestly, and pray knowing that it's between two parties. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying, and yourself. And you and I will grow our relationship with the Lord this year, perhaps our best year ever, if we'll be a people of prayer. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Father, we thank You this morning that we can know You through Your Son. And I pray, Father, that You would help each one of us to know for sure that we have the assurance of our hearts, that Your Spirit bears witness with us that we are Your people, we're Your children. And Father, I pray that if there's any here amongst us that knows not the Lord, I pray, God, today they would consider the claims of Jesus Christ, who loves them and gave Himself for them so they might be saved from sin, the wrath of God, and enter into this Father-Child relationship with You. And Lord, in Christ, we come before Your throne this morning and ask that You would take the Word, and we have asked You, God, to speak to us. We have come, Lord, wanting to hear from You. And I do pray, God, that You would challenge us. Certainly this matter of prayer is something that we're always challenged about. And Lord, but it is so important. It's just so very, very important for us in growing with You. So make us a people of prayer. Give us a spirit of prayer. Give us a desire, Father, to spend time in the prayer closet with our Lord, to get to know You better and Your ways better. And Father, reveal to us where we really are in our walk with the Lord. Because I have no doubt, dear Father, I'm speaking to some great people here who want to, they're here because they want to grow in their relationship with God. So we pray, God, that You would give us the impelling unction of Your Spirit to bring us daily to Your throne and spend some time with You. And just be about the matter of developing this relationship. And so that we can speak often and speak well, not only to our Father in heaven, but also of our Father in heaven. And tell others, Lord, what He has done for us. Father, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.